Cooper comes up, hits it.
Yeah!
Oh my God! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fleming!
Roglic.
There's the goal!
Richie!
Hello and welcome to the official Scotland podcast. I'm Mark Benstead. This is the show that takes you behind the scenes in the build-up to all the big games. They don't come much bigger than this weekend's game. Of course, Hampden Park on Saturday. It's Scotland against England in a crucial World Cup qualifier. Joining me for this week's edition are Gordon Duncan of Clyde One's Super Scoreboard and two very special guests. No offence to you, Gordon, of course. These guys trump you a little bit. Andy Robertson, of course, of Hull City, and Robert Snodgrass of West Ham United. First and foremost, you can be Andy. Robert, Snods, Snoddy, what do you want to be?
Anyone. Snods.
Snods. We'll start with that. Okay, get into this game, getting called up for this game. When you learn you're in the squad, do you get in touch with your mates to find out if they're in? How does it work? Just for the guys at home, kind of a background to what the feelings are when you get the nod, you get the email, you get the phone call.
I wouldn't really say you message or players or anything like that. It's just a sort of, if you're in it, then first thing Rob does is message me saying when you pick me up. I'm his personal chauffeur when it comes to coming away with Scotland, so I need to pick him up, make sure he's there. I see his mum waving him off for the house. So it's pretty much like that. That's my procedure. I need to make sure he's all right before I'm all right.
I was going to say, you were club mates, of course. When you end up in the Scotland squad together, is it a good thing to see him again or see each other again, or was it good riddance?
No, it's always nice to see him again. That wears off during the week. You know, obviously I get put with him in a room, unfortunately, and, you know, it does wear off during the week. Monday to Tuesday, it's all right. It's good to catch up with Snods, but come Thursday, I'm ready to pull my hair out.
It's good to have a bit of fun behind the scenes, but is it good to have that to balance it out, the kind of the hard graft as well? You want to be getting on with the guys when you're away with Scotland.
I think you need to. It's very important. I'll be honest with you, I don't stop carrying on for a week. Just because you need to keep the lads' spirits up, because it's, you know, first and foremost, you need to take the attention away for the game. And then, because once we're training and once the game comes, that's when you're sort of focused and all your mental energy is attached to that. So it's good to have a laugh and a joke sometimes.
Difficult time a season for a game, isn't it? God, I guess it's the same for you guys in the media as well. You know, yet to May, you think that's the season done, it's holiday time. Does this game kind of come at a strange time, do you think, in some ways?
Yeah, I suppose it does. I think the most annoying question you get asked doing this job is, what is it you do during the summer? You know, as if we just down tools as well. But much like the guys, especially this year, it just gets busier. I suppose an end-of-season international might see enthusiasm levels dip ever so slightly, but I think when it's England, the opposition, it sort of speaks for itself. Fans, media, players alike, everyone is right up for it, so if you don't need an excuse to get up for this game.
Yeah, Andy, does it help the game that it is this time round? It kind of makes it easier to play a game in June, because it's quite late for a game. We don't generally play fixtures of this nature, this late on.
It is quite late, of course it is, and it's hard to keep yourself going, you know, when you've put so much into a season and you've got a 2-week break, you know, it's hard to keep ticking yourself over. But, you know, I think just representing your country is big enough, if I'm honest. You know, we've had a couple of games and we're used to it now. Luckily, they've been big games, you know, away to Ireland, and then managed to get a friendly with France last season. And, you know, it doesn't get much bigger than this. But like I said, every time you come away with Scotland, it's a proud moment. And, you know, it doesn't take much to get up for the game.
Yeah, in terms of the kind of legs at this stage of the season, the kind of the head as well, I guess it's a long, hard season, a lot of games under the belt. Is it hard at this stage to come into a game like this, or do you find that everyone can still kind of push themselves through it?
Well, just pretty much what Andrew said. You obviously, if the kind of game speaks for itself, you get yourself up for it. And sort of, if you finish maybe 4 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever it is, I'm sure the lads at this stage, thinking about the game and the sort of job in hand, they'd have been keeping themselves fit anyway. Even lads that have been on holiday, lads that haven't really been, they'd have been ticking over, because I think the manager now touched on it the first day when we did strides. Everybody was involved doing the strides, and everybody was hitting their numbers, and we did it in times and all that stuff. So I think he done that based on sort of who's, you know, been keeping herself fit and ticking over, and everybody done it as part of a squad, and everybody was fine, so he was happy with it.
Yeah, any doubts Gordon Strachan had about his squad were eliminated after that very first training session. He was impressed by what the boys brought to the table.
Times where coach, you're meant to inspire players, but the players inspired the whole coaching staff this morning. Well, as you know, there's a group who have not trained for a long time. I've not played for a long time. We put on a session. It was going to be hard, an extra hard session for them at the end of training. And by the time it started, everybody in the squad joined in. The reason being that the players thought, if they're doing it, we're all doing it. So they come ambling across and started doing the same as the rest of the guys. Much to the concern of the fitness coach, may I add, who was having kittens at the time. But it just shows you that it's players that drive a group on. And the players got together as a group and said, we're doing this all together, which was absolutely phenomenal. It was inspirational.
Is that added excitement, that added drive down to this fixture, do you think?
This is a huge game, an exciting game, a game everybody's looking forward to. And the boys put a marker down this morning at the first training session, we want to be ready for this game. The marker they set themselves, no me, they set it this morning.
The thoughts of the Scotland manager Gordon Strachan speaking at the start this week and the build-up to this game are pretty much perfectly echoing what Snodgrass has just said and what the boys have said about this fixture. And nice to hear, I guess, because sometimes, you know, coming into these games, covering these games, Gordon, you come in wondering, where are the boys at? But nice to hear the manager kind of nail that from day one almost.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, touching on the different schedules players have, we know some of the guys based down south haven't played in a while. On the flip side, the guys, and we know there's a big Celtic core in the squad as well, involved in the Scottish Cup final just, you know, the other day. So it was encouraging to hear him saying that the boys were all on board with it, because we know that it has been a long, hard season, and perhaps they would have been very much entitled to turn up and guys try and find their feet at different times and get the legs going again. But certainly saying all the right things at the moment, and I guess the proof will be in the pudding come the weekend.
Yeah, certainly will be. I guess you mentioned earlier the fact that you could be a team that's ranked 100. The boys maybe wouldn't quite be as up for it. How does the England thing change the dynamic? You guys both based down there, live down there, play for teams down there. Does that make it particularly pertinent for you lads?
Of course, it's a massive game, you know, but like I said, I think, you know, I've been in this group of boys long enough to think that, you know, whatever game we would have probably have done the same thing. It's all about what's best for us. And, you know, the boys that have only finished a week or two ago, then I still think we would have joined in the runs, because it's just that we want to do the best for ourselves and for the team and for the coaches. So, but obviously, of course, it's with the England and with the media and all that talking it up, and the players know how big it is. So, you know, we need to be spot on fitness wise, and then hopefully we can show that on Saturday and it takes care of itself.
Where are you at then in terms of your game, do you think, coming into this? How do you look back at the season? Obviously, I guess, obviously, frustration for Holly, it didn't work out in the end, but actually, from a personal point of view, I think you started 31 of the league games, consistent performer, and actually hold the second half of the season. Once the manager changed, we were actually played really well at times.
Yeah, I was happy with the number of games I'd played. You know, the only games I really missed was when I'd done my calf, and obviously the return fixture, this one kind of came under that bracket. But, you know, like I said, the second half of the season for us was a positive one. At the end of the day, it ended in disappointment, but under our new manager and the way he wanted us to play, it suited us all. And, you know, I think I really improved over the last 6 months under him, and, you know, I can't thank him enough for that. Of course, the first 6 months was a disappointment, and that's what ended up getting us relegated. You know, I don't like talking him up, but, you know, if it wasn't for Snodgrass, then, you know, we wouldn't have even had that many points. You know, he really was scoring the goals, and he was the only one really pitching in, and we weren't good enough as a team. But like I said, the turn of the year was a lot better, but at the end of the day, we just came up that bit short.
Okay, well, he's talked you up, you can talk him up now. He must have done something right. He linked with a lot of clubs over the summer, linked with big money moves in a side that's ultimately gone down. How well has Andy played across the course of the last season?
Yeah, I remember sort of seeing him when he was a sort of young kid coming through at Dundee United, when he was obviously got his chance, and every single time anything's been asked of him, he's answered that question. Internationally, Premier League level, Championship level, he's ticked all the boxes. So I think one thing is what I did say to him, and sort of you try and give him any advice, but I don't think you probably need to at this stage, because he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's a good lad, and he knows himself what way his career wants to go. And I think one thing I did say to him is just say, you know, when we went sort of down, is, you know, just continue to enjoy your football. If you enjoy your football here, you play your best. And he done that, and he came through it with flying colours. In the Championship, we had a great season, and then this season again, any sort of questions were asked him, he'll tell you that, you know, he's answered them again. The new manager came in and asked him a few questions, he answered them. So it's no sort of surprise. I said from the very start, he's one of the hottest prospects in Britain. Played against most of the left backs, and he's up there with the best of them. So his next decision's up to him and his family.
What about your season? How do you look back? And you were kind of pretty prolific up until kind of Christmas time,
yeah,
New Year, and then change of club. How do you kind of adapt to life in London and in West Ham?
It's to be honest with you, I feel as if I've had two seasons in one. It feels weird because you've had two teams. The first season, sort of you're going fighting relegation. Then is it West Ham? There's an expectation on you should be up in the top 10 and fighting with the teams up there. So. It would have been so easy for me to stay in my comfort zone with all the lads that are Scottish. My missus was close to all their missus, and it would have been so easy for me to think to myself, you know, play under the new manager and try and kick on. I was a top goal scorer there. I was really enjoying my football, but I thought, why not test yourself? I'm nearly 30. Test yourself at sort of a big club, that big club mentality, change it, because the teams I've been in, we've always kind of been tipped for relegation. It's always worked out like that, so to have that other side and then sort of try and go into that team and try and kick on has been, you know, it's been a test, and it's one that sort of I'm looking forward to next season, because then it'll feel as if the move is finally taking place.
I know perhaps on the face value you've not quite had the same form from the first half of the season in the second, but do you feel you've got better from the move already anyway, even if perhaps the numbers haven't been quite there as much?
You would say that. I'm disappointed that I never get any goals and assists. I got a few assists, but I'm disappointed I didn't get any goals. That's something that I've always tried to drive forward and try and do. But I think it's just another sort of thing that gets that fire in your belly to try and kick on next season and show the manager the reason why he signed us, my teammates as well. I touch on many times is if long as you've got that fire in your belly, it's give something to drive forward and kick on, then I'm sure I'll be okay.
Gunnar, you're covering the games and dealing with the press conferences, dealing with the matches. Do you think it is important that we have guys like these lads who are playing at that top level and delivering week in, week out for clubs, playing against the best? Does that make a difference when it comes to these get-togethers?
No, I mean, the guys would answer better than me, but I would like to think if I was in their shoes, the confidence it would give you, knowing that you've tested yourself against those types of players week in, week out, would be, you know, invaluable, because for some guys, and we know there's a constant debate about the different level between Scottish football and the Premier League down south and so on, but if you're Andy and you're coming up against whatever you know, attacking power that England are going to throw at us, if you've done it all season long, then why would you fear it? You know what to expect, you can learn from it. And same with Robert as well, banging in goals against these defenders for numerous seasons during his career. Again, that psychologically must give you guys a belief you can do it again. And feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine that's
no. I think what you say there is right. You know, we look at sort of all their team, and we'll probably play against them at one stage in our career, and it does give you the confidence. But you know, I always touch on sort of coming away. It's whatever sort of Scotland team turn up is the one that's got to get the result. Against Lithuania, we never turned up. Against Slovenia, I thought we were a different class, and we deserved that result. So you can talk about the sort of jump on sort of Scottish football, English football. These lads in this team are top players. They've done it, and they've proved themselves on many occasions. Lads doing it at the Championship, Premier League, SPL. It's a team game. As soon as whatever team turns up, it wants it the most.
What makes that difference then? Because you say it's down to what Scotland team turns up. What do you think's been the fine line in those?
I think there's loads of things. What the manager touched on is, you know, it's quite hard. Sort of, but through club level, you can work at it on a day-to-day basis. He's only got a short gap and a short window sometimes to get his points across, and sometimes it's different players that come in. Sometimes you keep that squad. But one thing we've done, we trusted each other to take the ball in tight areas, create chances, go through teams, sort of the progression that the manager's wanted throughout sort of his campaign, previous one, and then this one is sort of, you know, keep making progress, keep trying to show teams that, you know, we're a driving force going forward. And I don't think certain stage against Lithuania and Slovakia, we did that. Against Slovenia, we did. We opened them up many occasions. It can be three or four. And I think that's what it's going to take. You need to believe that you can go and beat England, and you can go and you need to create chances first and foremost.
It will write yourself, and is that you go along with that? That it's kind of down to more what Scotland do rather than who you're facing, more than anything else?
Yeah, of course. You know, you need to look at your opponent. Of course you do. Any game we play, we look at the opponents, and you know, you need to see what their strengths and weaknesses are, because you know, you can exploit the weaknesses and, you know, the positives. You've got to try and stop them. But like Snod says there, if we show up and give our best, then that's all we can do on the day. If it's not good enough in whatever game, then it's not good enough. But you know, if we put 100% effort and we walk off that pitch and know that we've gave our all, then hopefully the result's in our right favour, and if it is, then we'll all be delighted.
you've obviously played, both of you, against a number of this England squad. Who stands out then from the group? You know, I guess Harry Kane's one that's been spoken about a lot. He's got a few goals against you boys this season. You weren't on the pitch for a lot of them, though, so it's all right. Yeah. What do you make of him, and how good is he? Because some people seem to debate, even though his numbers are amazing, is he in that top bracket, which seems a bit strange from the outside.
You know, for probably out of all the strikers in England, he's the only one that starts the season that always gets critics. You know, they say, can he hit 20 again? And he keeps on doing it every season. You know, I think he's getting better and better every season. He played against us the last game of the season, and he got a hat-trick. The game before, I think he scored 4 against Leicester. And, you know, he was going good form at the end of the season, and he managed to get the golden boot. And you can't knock that. You know, I don't think he's there yet, but I think he can be a world-class striker. And if he keeps improving like he does, then I don't think there's any stopping him. But, you know, there's that many threats in the England squad that we can't just focus on him. Yeah, that would be a big part, especially for the centre-backs. But, you know, the wingers can cause problems. The centre-mids can cause problems. And, you know, their full-backs get high as well. So we need to be wary of all that, and we need to look at them as a whole and see how we can stop them, but more importantly, how we can attack them as well.
What about this game then? Tell us, how does it have to unfold for Scotland to get a good result? Come on, give us your verdict on what's key in this. What's the secret to it?
Like I said before, I think we've got to obviously stop their attacking threat by being solid at the back. Maybe be patient at times, because we know England are good at possession and they like to keep the ball. And sometimes it's good just to maybe retreat and get back into a solid formation that, you know, we're used to, and that we know when's the moment to press and then go after them to try and get their head down and not have their decisions. But ultimately, we need to cause them problems as well. We've got the attacking players to do it. We've got pace, we've got power, we've got goal threats. So, you know, we just need to try and create chances. The more chances we create, obviously, the more chance we're going to take them. But, you know, with the strikers we've got, you've got hope that if one lands to them, then they can put it in the back of the net. Or, like I said, if you've got Snods in the wing or Ryan Fraser or James Forrest, whoever it is, then, you know, we've got these players that can create a chance or, you know, score a goal or whatever. So, you know, that's what we've got to do. We've got to take our chances when they come, but, you know, obviously keep them out and always be aware of their threat coming forward.
The game at Wembley, with covering the match, take the result out, but Scotland actually did play very well. And that's one thing, when you spoke to Gordon Strachan for the last podcast, he was big to touch upon.
Yeah, he's very keen to draw on the positives from that performance, and I happen to agree with him. I do appreciate why that doesn't sit well with everyone, considering that it ended 3-0. I totally accept that, but if you take us back, I mean, I remember sitting there just before the opening goal and being really surprised at how comfortable Scotland looked, the way they were passing the ball around, creating chances. I think I can still hear you screaming at Lee Griffiths to just play in. Is that one that haunted you for?
Yeah, I'm still screaming at him the now.
Still remind him about that one day. But that sort of summed it up. You know, that was an unbelievable chance. I think James Forrest in the second half sort of drags one past the post as well. Actually, I had a look at the stats recently, and it was 3 shots on goal for England, 3 shots on target, and 3 goals. But you can't take anything away from them. They were clinical, and we weren't. But it would be crazy to not draw on those positives. You know, we could easily have been outplayed in every department, but I don't think we were.
Give us a bit of insight. In a situation like that, that was the moment, I think, in the game when everyone expected the pass through. You were open, it was the chance. Do you talk to Lee after the game about it? Does it come up? Talk, I'm using the word talk here, or do you kind of just box it off and say, look, that happens in a game, or
just politely?
It was a big moment. I think Lee would admit the same.
No, I think when you're looking at it and you think to yourself, slide them in. But I was 90% certain he wasn't going to pass it, because Lee Griffiths shoots for every single angle you can possibly imagine. And that's why he's, you know, one of Selick's, you know, strikers and a striker that's banging form when he plays. He wants to score every game. Sometimes, you know, maybe just looks that little bit up and sees the run. He passes it. Sometimes he takes a shot. What happens if he scored? People would have said, you know, fair play to him. But at that moment in time, you know, I was raging. I'm not going to lie. You know, especially you make a sort of 40, 50 yard run and somebody doesn't give you the ball. It isn't nice, but especially when a chance to put us in the lead. I think at that stage, yeah, it was 0-0. So I've just, you know, set him for 5 minutes, and at half time I was thinking, oh, it's all right, you know, just fine. And next time, yeah, if you do see us, then you need to slide in, because I'm not doing that again.
You obviously couldn't play in that game. Watching from the sidelines, what did you make of the match, that moment aside, and how the boys performed?
Yeah, I managed to get down there. You know, I was in with the Tartan Army, and me and my pal watched the game, but you know, like you said, the first half, I thought they were comfortable. You know, I thought the boys were passing the ball well. They were taking risks in the final third, trying to create chances, and obviously the big one that we've just focused on there. That was a big moment in the game. But like you said, there was only three shots on target for England. But you know, that's the quality they've got. They can take their chances even if they are under the cosh a wee bit. So I think it was a good performance, and I do think we can take positives from it. But you know, ultimately we did get beaten that day, so we need to try and, you know, stop them from creating the chances that they can take, and hopefully create a few more for ourselves and make the right decisions, and hopefully we can get somebody on the end of them, and you know, maybe get a lead that we can hold on to.
So you were in watching with the fans. Were you in the full Glengarry in the Highland regalia, or were you in kind of incognito? And
he was in his horrific gear as usual.
No, I was fine. I was just in my normal gear, no need. But not the best, but I just went down, and I was actually getting treatment in London at the time, so it worked out quite well for the 3 days I was getting treatment, so I managed to jump along to the game at night.
What does that do, that experience of watching the game kind of almost as a fan again, after having been in the thick of it? You guys are kind of immersed in something, sometimes kind of separate from stuff. Does that give you a different view of it, and do you listen to what's being said around? Because there's guys around you might be giving stick to your mates.
Of course, you know, there's a few dafties in the stand. There's never a doubt of that. You know, I've been injured a few times, and they just, you know, hurl abuse for no reason. But you know, some of the things they say are maybe right. You know, we were lucky that we were kind of sitting in with all the families, so we were there with, you know, Snoddy's missus and all his pals and all that. So and you know, all the other boys. So it wasn't too bad, as it wasn't the kind of hardcore fans, but. You know, I prefer being on the pitch, if I'm honest. I hated it. I hated the 90 minutes, and you know, I was nervous for the boys before the game, and that's just the way it is. You prefer to be on the pitch where you can make an influence. You can't do anything up in the stands. So, you know, I didn't enjoy it, but it was an experience.
I guess one of the things from the England camp in the build-up to this game is no Wayne Rooney. It was kind of one of the decisions that changing management, changing the squad around a bit. Speaking to James McFadden this week, he was surprised. He thought it was great for Scotland's point of view that he wasn't involved. Did you go along with that? Is it better not to have Wayne in their squad?
It's a difficult one, and it's one that obviously has had a lot of debate all season. I think I speak in behalf of all Scotsmen and say that we wish we had someone with his scoring record at international level, so, and his big game experience and all the rest of it at club level as well. You can see why people should think that, you know, that he should definitely play. Having said that, going back even to Wembley, I don't think he had his best game. I remember being a bit disappointed, if you can say that, albeit I wanted Scotland to win. I remember he didn't really manage to take the game by the scruff of the neck. We know that he's fallen out of favour ever so slightly at club level. There's a, you know, younger guys coming, so I'm not overly surprised, but hopefully taking his experience and big game know-how out of the equation can go in Scotland's favour.
Yeah. I just wondered with that game. I remember that the game at Celtic Park, where Wayne was kind of like excellent and seemed like the man for that fixture, it seems like maybe he could have done a big job for England in this game. Are you perhaps quite surprised that he wasn't brought in for this nature of this kind of game? He seems like the kind of guy who would be up for a trip to Hampden Park.
I did the commentary that day, actually. So you're saying about Andrew Benin, I was doing the commentary that day, and sort of you're wishing the lads, you know, all the very best, and you know, you're kicking every ball, and I thought he was great that night. You seemed disappointed, but I seen him and I thought he was the difference in that night. But I just think having somebody like him round about the rest of the lads, I don't know, sort of if you like those young lads, Dele Alli and Kane have sort of played on occasion. It's got to be like Camden on Saturday. It's got to be massive. It's got to be bouncing, and it's a different sort of feeling. It's not your club feeling. It's international. So as Andrew said, if we get the first goal, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, and you talked about the atmosphere before and that kind of feel. How do you find Hampden now? Is it a special place to play for you still? Does it kind of puff the chest out and make you feel kind of almost invincible when you walk out for kickoff? Yeah.
Well, I think when you first sort of set off and you think to yourself, you know, if I could play for Scotland, that'd be a great feeling. And then you sort of gets closer to it, with the more your professional career goes on, then you get the chance. And I'll be honest with you, it's the greatest feeling for me. That feeling with the sort of national anthem and you know, the shivers you get, and you see your family and the crowd, your mates, everybody, you see the fans, and you know, you want that feeling every game. Right? You know, as Andrew said, the last game, it sort of those special sort of moments. You're so used to seeing a packed Hampden crowd. Not seeing that's no good, but it falls on our shoulders in terms of results. So to get that back. It'd be a great way to start off, as I said, we sort of go and beat the old enemy.
Do you get chance in games to have those moments where you look in the crowd and you see someone or something happens in a match, you can take stock for just a split second and think, well, I'm playing for Scotland at Hampden, this is amazing.
Sometimes you're reminded all the way through it, and you think to yourself, when you're running, you hear the crowd, and you get to a level and you've played so many times, it sticks with you, and we need to get the country a result, and sometimes those nights go well, like against Slovenia's last minute winners are special, but as I say, sometimes it's not. So as long as you keep that feeling inside you, you're doing your best for your country, and never mind sort of you as an individual. That will see you a long way.
Yeah, these guys have all played in big matches, of course, many of them Champions League, and they've played World Cups, European Championships, etc. But there is something special about Hampden on those big nights. What's it like for you boys when you walk out, national anthems, the flames go up? Is there anything that quite compares to that then that they'll have to deal with for Saturday?
I don't think so. A packed Hampden with, 50,000 Tartan Army singing the national anthem, there's no more motivation than that to go into the game. It gets goosebumps in the back of your neck, and it's a great feeling. I think the last home game, it was, we understood that we were disappointing in the two previous games, so there was going to be a drop in fans, but it was kind of disappointing to walk out to so many empty seats. But the fans pay for what they see, and they obviously weren't happy the last couple of games. So hopefully we can get them back after the the positive result we had the last time, and hopefully if it's a packed crowd, which I don't doubt, then they can get right behind us, and they can hopefully support us and maybe give us that extra 10% that we might need.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for a late winner, isn't there? Sometimes that can be a more enjoyable win for the fans, and people left that night kind of buoyed by that, I guess, and that might kind of carry on for the fans come Saturday.
Absolutely. We always talk about football being fine lines. You're a minute away from a really disappointing, deflating night where the fans who have bothered to turn up go away with that same feeling in their stomach, and it was a good performance, so it would have been another hard luck story and so on. But all of a sudden, Chris Martin comes on, sticks one in the back of the net, and it just flips everything on its head. So I don't think there's any doubt. This fixture, like we touched on at the start, probably speaks for itself anyway, but it helps to go into it with a real feel-good factor from the last one.
Nice that Chris Martin got the goal as well, because he probably deserved that, because he'd had a little bit of a flackle on the way, but it kept turning up, kept putting the graft in, and he's rewarded for it in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. We heard the boos when he came on, and I think most people sort of slightly uncomfortable with that, but he answered it in the best way possible, and I'm sure he'll get a great reception at the weekend on the back of that. I don't think it was anything personal. I don't know, I can't speak in behalf of those people, but it was just a frustration at the way things had been going, and what can happen, there tends to be certain players that get it. So I was delighted when I saw him stick that one in the back of the net, and speaking to him afterwards, he was delighted as well, and I'm sure you boys all were for him as well.
Is that one of those goals that's popular within the squad? Any goal is popular, but when a certain guy scores in that kind of situation, it's one that everyone goes, I'm chuffed for you, mate, well done, that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I think when you see, booing for one of your teammates, it's never nice, especially at that stage. But it might be interesting booing and sort of cheering the decision to say, right, we've brought a striker on. Cheer him, give him the confidence to try and go and get the goal. So it just shows the character of Chris. He's dug deep, as you said, he's worked hard. And all good strikers, they get that one chance and they stick it away. And I think it meant so much to everybody, because it would have been a disappointing night. Everybody says, I'm sick and tired of hearing that every time I come up here, because that's what all we've done. We played 20 minutes good against Slovakia, we've done this against England, but that's sort of what it's come down to for us in certain campaigns. We need to start making making that into good results and getting 3 points, because that's basically what it's all about. It's it's not a friendly match, we need the points on the board, and that's how we need to get us more chancy, sort of getting us up that table. We need to get the one.
Going off to working in the radio since that game, on the back of that match, do you get a feeling that could be the turning point, could be the catalyst? It's kind of reinvigorated people a little bit, and people think maybe, okay, qualification could maybe still be on the cards.
Yeah, I think going into the game, you and I know, working in this industry and speaking to managers, they're very reluctant to refer to games as must win, but the manager was very clear before the last one that it was, and I think it was a really significant result because we're still in with a chance. We've still got an unbelievably long road to go, but you look at what could have been had we not won that game. You know, it would have been all but over, and it would have been a seriously long road back, if you know, probably an impossible one. So you see it in football all the time, any level. You know, a bit of luck, a last minute goal, just something to go in your favour, and sometimes it can spark people, it can lift people. That doesn't only apply to the people in the stands, but sometimes the guys on the pitch as well.
Andy, what did the lads make of Gordon coming out ahead of that game saying it was must win? Was it kind of just something you kind of accepted because it kind of was the case, or did that kind of focus the mind, or was it something that kind of came up?
It wasn't as if it was, you know, a surprise when he said it to the press. We met up on the Sunday night and he said to all of us, you know, regardless of what team I pick or what formation or anything like that, this is a must-win game. We need the 3 points, and that was it. So the boys were very clear when we met up that we needed that win. And, you know, the boys went out and done it well. So there was no problem with the gaffer coming out and saying that it was a must-win because we all knew it. The press aren't daft, the fans aren't daft. They knew that all the boys would be going into this that we needed the 3 points, and we didn't hide away from the fact. And, you know, I quite like the fact that the gaffer and the players never had away from it, and you know, we delivered on the night at the end of the day.
Do sometimes players like that, you know, when it's kind of black and white, you know, it's either win or lose. You, there's no kind of grey areas to it, just go and get the job done. Is that easier sometimes?
Yeah, it can. You know, no players going into a game thinking, right, we're going to lose here, but like, you go into every game thinking you're going to win. But I suppose it was a bit added pressure that we took well. I thought the players from the get-go, from the whistle, that I thought we'd done, you know, excellent, and we created chances in the first 5 minutes. I think we had already 2 chances and a couple of corners, and we got on the front foot, and, you know, it was obviously that the message got through to all of us that we needed to win it. So, you know, it wasn't a secret that we needed the 3 points, and luckily we did it. But I suppose it is a bit of a risk. Like you said, you know, it could have been a lot different if 2 minutes later we didn't score, and, you know, it ends 0-0, then, you know, we've set ourselves up for a fall because we've said it's a must win and we've got a draw. But, you know, I thought the performance was good enough for the win, and luckily we got it.
What's that win done then for the group in your eyes?
As players, you know, I know me anyway, I don't really focus on the table, because although we knew we were a bit behind there, we knew Slovenia were ahead of us, we knew we had to close the gap on them, and that was all we could do. We couldn't control what England done or Slovakia done or whatever. We could only control that, right, okay, we're going to make 3 points up in Slovenia, and we managed to do that. But, you know, I don't think you look to the table until, you know, a wee bit closer to the time where you think, right, okay, we need this, we need them to do that or whatever. But, you know, we just go into every game hoping to get the 3 points. And if we do, then, you know, you can maybe focus on the table and see, right, okay, this is where we're at, and this is what we have to do.
What about you? Do you like to look at the table, or are you one that just puts it to one side, or the different boys treat it differently looking at the fixtures, what lies ahead?
Sometimes you can get drawn to it. Sometimes you can say, you know, mate, and you probably put that upon yourself, this is a must win, or that's a must win, or anything like that. But I think every game, obviously, we're looking to try and go and win the game. But as Andrew said, you try and get 3 points on England here. It brings everything right back to sort of saying this is the second run of games. Now we've got some good, you know, fixtures of Slovakia. We've got them at home as well, so we've got some good ones at Hampden coming up as well. So if we can start these run of games off with a win, it'll be interesting.
One thing we like to do in these podcasts is we usually get some of the guests to put forward a team to play the game. Now, probably not right to let you guys pick a team, because you both put each other anyway. So go on, you're at the pressure, you're the only guy here who's going to pick a team, right? So no stress here,
and obviously I need to put these two in it.
Yeah, I'm getting up and leaving now.
Sure. No pressure then.
Well, so you're the manager, you're going to pick the team for this game. It's something that we're kind of encouraging the fans to do as well, is offer their kind of ideas on the team, because everyone has an opinion on the Scotland team. That's when the game's run, especially for a game like this, everyone thinks they know better than the manager. Yeah. It's your chance to say that you know better than the manager. Come on.
No pressure. I think a lot's been made over the last couple of years of the fact that we don't have superstars as such. We've got a lot of guys of a similar level, and that perhaps makes picking the team, you know, that bit harder. But I think the Slovenia game answered a lot of questions, because it threw up the fact that Andy can play a left back with Kieran Tierney at right back. So I would expect and hope to see that again, with Craig Gordon keeping his place in goal, and in the same defence altogether, because clean sheets don't come around too often for Scotland recently. And I thought they did well. We know we're not blessed with a whole number of options at centre-back. That's just the reality of it. Nothing that can be done about that. So I think sort of Russell Martin, Charlie Mulgrew is as solid as we're going to get. I think it's obviously important that we do continue to tap into the feel-good factor amongst the Celtic boys. Stuart Armstrong and Scott Brown performing together. James Morrison, I thought, did well in the last game as well. So if you're talking about central areas, again, it would have to be those three. I'm not just saying this because I have to, honestly, because you're sitting next to me. But
yes, of course, yes. You wouldn't be in a talk.
Been on the bench the last 4 months. I'd have Snodgrass on one side. And perhaps, I think then the only change from the Slovenia game is, and this is just my own opinion, I would go for Ryan Fraser ahead of James Forrest. Just, you know, we know what Forrest brings, his electric pace and all the rest of it, but the way he ended the season wasn't quite as impressive as the way he started it. And I think Ryan Fraser's had a brilliant season in the Premier League, going back to what we touched on, playing against these defenders, terrorising them. So I'd like to see him get involved. I know many people disappointed that he was injured in the last squad, and I know Chris Martin got his goal, and I think he'll have a big part to play. But until that back injury that he picked up, I thought Lee Griffiths was great as well. We know he missed that big chance, which is probably playing in the back of his mind, knowing the type of character he is. But just the way he gets in defenders' faces and makes life difficult for them, I'd certainly put him back in and maybe give him the chance to pass one through to Snoddy this
still
time.
Happen, don't worry,
try and make up for that one. So there we are. You can come back and slate me if I get that one totally wrong.
I'm sure they will. I guess, were you delighted, Andy, when Kieran got shifted to right back? Because the way he's been playing, like the form he's been showing, it starts to question like where you get him, because he seems to everything is just that boy touches at the moment, it's just turned to gold. And even getting his face smashed in isn't stopping him these days.
Yeah, of course. You know, when I'd first came into the squad, you know, left back was a problem position. You know, I think Stephen Whittaker was coming over from the right to play in the left, and you know, that's really the only option they had. But now, you know, we've got, I think we're blessed with options at left back, if I'm honest. You know, you obviously get me and Katie are the ones that are always getting mentioned, but you know, Stephen Kingsley's in the squad, so he's had a great season with Swansea. To play in the highest level is always good, and you've got people that aren't in the squad like Graham Shinney and people like Barry Douglas that don't really get a look in. So, and Lee Wallace obviously is out injured as well, so you know, that's six I've named, and you know, all of them could step in and do a job. But I think when we met up, it was, you know, to me it was quite obvious that the gaffer was thinking about playing both of us, whether it was me on the right or KT on the right. I think it was quite clear that both of us were going to play. So, you know, he obviously seen my right peg in training and decided against it. But, you know, I was obviously delighted that both of us managed to get in the team. But, you know, obviously more so me that, you know, I was delighted to start in my familiar position.
Going to wrap things up shortly and let you boys get away. Just quickly on Ryan Fraser, you know, you've seen him play. He's had a really good spell with Bournemouth. He seems to have a lot about him. He's been talked about for a little while. Do you think he's now at a level he's starting to kick on and show why people were excited about him?
The thing is, what you see, you'll never know if these lads are at a level until you test them and you know, put them in and see if they can do it. And one thing he's done, he's the same as Andrew. He's answered the questions. He's went and done it. He's almost got a freedom that, you know, that when you're a young kid in the street, you just want to go and attack people and play, and you know, don't take that away from him. Just let him play, let him run at England if he is playing, and go and cause problems. What he has done in the Premier League, I think he's been fantastic, and he can only sort of build on the sort of season he's had.
And just on the Celtic factor, everyone keeps talking about it. Do you see that going as a big thing, you know, like to play on the fact there's five or six boys there who could start, who have just had the most amazing season?
We always talk about confidence, don't we, football all the time. So I think when you come with that winning feeling, international football serves a number of purposes. It can allow guys who've had difficult seasons to get a release from that and get away from it and try and express themselves. But the flip side, if you can come into it having won every single domestic game that you played, look around on the pitch at Hampden on Saturday and see guys who've done it with you, that must make a difference. And they're not in there by default, you know, because they've been excellent. We know what Scott Brown brings to Scotland. They've been through that a number of times, but you saw Stuart Armstrong playing his first game against Slovenia. It looked as if he had, you know, 50 caps under his belt. Everyone knows Tierney. I don't think we need to talk him up anymore. Everything he does seems to be, you know, impressive at the moment, and Griffiths as well. So I think it would be crazy not to try and use that feel-good factor, that momentum, and hopefully it can rub off on other guys as well.
Yeah. Do you guys notice that kind of feel about those boys, that they come in and they just got that, you know, they're in a good place, basically?
Well,
every one of them at the top of their game. I think I feel really sorry for Lee Griffiths. He goes and scores maybe 40 goals, and then sort of they bring in this this lad Dembele, who was a breath of fresh air as well. So and then, but then Sparky, fair play to him. It shows you the character of him. To try and keep going, dig in when you get a chance, you know, take your chances, and he's done that. So he's right. It's, you know, that sort of confidence. Lads will drive forward with the ball. I think when you've got more of them in your squad, it gives you more of a chance.
Okay, going to wrap things up then. Just in terms of this game, you know, the more I work in football these days, the more I hang around with the players at the top level, I realise that you guys don't get a lot of chance to kind of enjoy good results at times, because there's always a next game, there's always prep for a next game. Is this a game where you perhaps can enjoy it if you get a result? Because it's the last game of your season, although pre-season is going to be round the corner very quickly, you're probably back in, what, the first week of July or something. Can you enjoy it if you get a good result come Saturday?
Of course, like you said, you know, when we usually get a good result, if it's internationally or domestically, then we've got another game the next weekend. But this one, you know, we've not got another game until, you know, until August, really. But you're in pre-season, obviously, in 3-4 weeks. So I suppose if we get a result, I'm sure the lads will enjoy it. And I'm sure they'll have plans, because, you know, it's a big game. And I'm sure all the families are going and friends. So, you know, it might be involving all them. But I suppose, yeah, if we're not going back for 4 weeks, you can definitely enjoy it that wee bit more. Yeah.
I think the look in the faces of these two tells you that they plan on enjoying it.
Is this a case of the car's waiting and there's a carry out in the back and we're off the town off the back of it almost? Is that the kind of end of the season, draw a line and chance to enjoy it? Because I say you don't get the chance often.
Yeah, you won't get the chance that often. I think it's pretty much speaks for itself. If you get a good result against England, it's sort of
straight to Magaluf.
It's been a long season for me, especially for him as well. He's been through sort of disappointment, sort of relegation, so that is difficult. So, you know, you need to enjoy these moments as much as you possibly can. If it's a holiday with your family, if it's a night out with the lads, or it's a night with your family, you know, go and do it, because nobody would sort of stop you for doing that.
I was going to say, is that important in the game? Because it becomes so high pressure, there's so much involved in the game these days, there's so much money, there's so much riding on it, so much scrutiny, you need to enjoy the good days along the way, otherwise what's the point of that?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Especially the older you get, you realise that, you know, once those days come, you need to enjoy it. And plus, once you're off as well, you need to sort of enjoy, because as soon as you get right back into pre-season, you're right back in the thick of things. So I think that now with this game, that's what I say to you about lads who haven't switched off. You're pretty sad to say that maybe we're on holiday, but you're constantly thinking about this game, and you're constantly keeping your fitness up. You're watching what you're eating, you're watching your diet, your sleep, everything has all come down to this game.
Okay, go on then, wrap up for us just from your point of view, from watching on, you'll be covering the game at the weekend. What constitutes a good afternoon's work, a good evening's work for Scotland on Saturday?
Just as long as we win and these two pick us up on the way to the No, on a serious note, I think it's very simple, isn't it? Win the game, that's it. I mean, yeah, certain times a draw against England at Hampden would be great, but I think with the stage we're at in the group, you can only set your sights on one thing, a victory, 3 points, and we'll all go home happy.
Okay. Yep. 3 points up for grabs, and a trip to Magaluf hanging in the balance for Andy alongside me. He's nailed his colours to the mast there. Guys, thanks for taking the time to join us on the podcast. We wish you well for the weekend. A few bits of housekeeping to wrap up with. Scottish FA is once again providing a two-way free bus service from the city centre to Hampden for all ticket holders for the match against England. Pre-match, coaches will transport supporters from Buchanan bus station to Cathcart Road from 2:30 until 4. Post-match, the coaches will leave from Cathcart Road to Buchanan from 6:50 p.m. These services, first come, first served basis. Your match ticket must be presented on board. And word of warning, we have to say, no alcohol on public transport. Plenty of police on duty. Zero tolerance. Also, extra security measures, of course, in place ahead of this game. I'm sure everyone understands that off the back of what happened recently in London and in Manchester. There'll be bag searches, a bigger police presence. Please be patient and please get to the game early to make sure you don't miss anything. Also, worth pointing out, there's a card display in the North Stand. Please be in early for that as well. And of course, ahead of kickoff, there's a minute's silence to remember those who passed away in the tragedy in London recently. Also, if you want to get beyond that and get in the mood for the game at the weekend, just to mark your card as well, Scotland's women are playing Romania in a Euro 2017 warm-up on Friday night at the Falkirk Stadium. Entry is just £5 for adults. It's free if you're in the supporters club as well. The match will also be streamed live on Facebook, Periscope and YouTube. That's things out the way. Guys, thanks for your time once again. Gordon, thanks for your contribution. That's it from us. Wherever you're watching Saturday's game, have a great weekend. Goodbye.
Cooper comes up, hits it. Yeah!
What a goal by Mick Fleming!
Dogleach.